All in preparation for the challenges that lie ahead. This is a show that feeds the mind with inspiration and truth on the issues of the day. If it's important to your life, you'll find it here. Hosted by Malcolm Out Loud.
Well, it seems like folks were a whole lot busy in the month of December as we come through the holiday season. It wasn't just the holidays they were thinking about, but it was the new year. Well, Google just released the most popular phrases typed into their search engine that begin with the words how to. This was in the days just leading up before New Year's Day, so kind of interesting to look back at this list and see what were people thinking. What are the biggest things on Americans' minds right now? Well, I'm going to give you that list right now. Let's give you number 10 of the list. How to crochet a beanie. I'm making that up. How to crochet a beanie. That seems to be a hot item for folks. And number 9 on the list, how to steam broccoli. Number 8, how to cook collard greens. What are collard greens? Anybody know what collard greens are? I don't even know. I mean, I know they're greens, but what makes a collard green? I'm not really sure. I'll have to look that up for you. Number 7 on the list, how to write a letter of recommendation. So it looks like people are thinking about doing that in the new year. And by the way, I just looked up collard greens. It's a cabbage of a variety that does not develop a heart. Does not develop a heart? I did not know that. And number 6 on the list, how to cook cabbage. Number 5, how to cook lentils. So you can see where people's minds are. It's all about a healthier sort of lifestyle, I guess. Number 4, how to write a resignation letter. Well, looks like people are thinking about starting anew and maybe resigning from their jobs or careers or something at the year end. Number 3, top 3 here now. How much water should I drink to lose weight? I don't really know what the answer to this, but if I'm guessing, if I'm a betting man here, I'm thinking it's about 10, 12 glasses a day. It's just a guess, but water's good for you anyway. So number 2 on the list, how to make kale chips. And the number 1 item being fed into Google search engines that Americans are thinking about, how to get rid of stress. Boy, that is a big problem for a lot of us, isn't it? Stress. It just kills you. It affects everything. It affects your health, your well-being, your mindset. Just so many things are impacted by our stress. So something we talk about a lot here. Anyways, let's get on to some of the life news and get you up to speed on a few things. Well, one good thing about New Year's, as we came across, I think officials were worried about terror attacks and that sort of thing. And really, we're blessed. We were very, very fortunate that we had no real big incidents throughout the country. There was one that could have happened in Rochester, New York, upstate New York. And a police arrested a man for a plot in a New Year's attack on behalf of ISIS. And we're starting to see a whole lot more of this, folks. This is why we all need to be diligent, obviously pay attention. But this guy, he was Emmanuel Lutschman is his name, young guy, 25 years old. And he told an FBI informant that he supported the radical Islamic terrorist group, and his plans were to go to a local bar on New Year's Eve and kill as many people as possible. But they got wind of this and were able to get him before he did any harm, thank God. And they say his goal was to prove to ISIS that he was willing to join the movement and eventually move to Syria. You know, you kind of wonder where some of these people come from. This guy, obviously, and again, it says right here that he suffers possibly from mental health problems. You can't be all together if you're doing this kind of thing and want to go join ISIS. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but we're seem to be finding more and more of these people. So, also, you've been following that story about the teenager, the influenza teenager. We talked about it here. Well, the mother ended up in Mexico as well with this kid. Ethan Couch is the young kid. And that couple of years ago, he killed 4 people on a DUI, got off with a defense that was just being wealthy, influenza. He didn't know right from wrong, they said, because his family had too much money and they always kind of gave him his own way, I guess, and didn't punish him somehow. But anyways, they ended up in Mexico, and he violated parole after being caught doing some beer pongs and things on the videos. And it seems like the mother now has been escorted back to L.A., and she's in a whole heap of trouble. Bail was set at $1 million for her. Talk about extraditing her back to Texas, possibly. But she's in a whole lot of trouble, and now the kid, Ethan Couch, is still in Mexico. And he's got to go through, the judge still has to weigh what's going to happen there. A lot to happen yet with this case. I don't know about the whole influenza thing, guys. You know, being able to use that as a defense. And his attorneys got him off on that. I mean, he only got, you know, a little rehab time and probation after killing 4 people, taking 4 innocent lives. That's not a good story at all. But anyway, still ongoing here. Also been following this Hillary Clinton. They released her emails. They do these email dumps every month or so, and New Year's Eve, that's what they did. They did another dump, and I don't know that they found anything really too hot here, but all kinds of, you know, they try to create these scandalous sort of moments, if you will. And I think the biggest one they found here, beside the fact that George Soros said that he should have supported her and not President Obama, interestingly enough. Again, these are all the private conversations of a Secretary of State. But also, one of these funny ones here is that one of her aides wrote, they had jury duty, and they were trying to get out of jury duty and asked Clinton for her advice, and said, "Look and sound eager. You'll be viewed as too crazy for either side to pick." And this is what she writes back now, Hillary Clinton. "And my prosecutor friend told me I simply have to say I trust cops," the aide said to her. And her response to that? Perfect. So those are those private moments, something you put in the email. You got to be careful what you put in writing today, folks. Also, Hawaii is the first state to they extended the smoking age for kids to 18 to 21. First state in the nation to do that, change the legal smoking age. They're saying more states are going to follow on this. I'll be curious to see what happens here, if that becomes a trend now or something else. And also, you've been following that story on Bill Cosby. This has been a big, big news item, my friends. He faces 10 years in prison, possibly. He's finally been up on charges here. This was a lady from a case a few years back, Andrea Constand. Again, I think about last count here, probably maybe 60, between 50 and 60 women anyways, have claimed some sort of sexual assault with this guy. This guy's 78 years old now. They say he could face 10 years in prison. Looking at all the evidence at this point, it's starting to mount against him. I will tell you that. So I don't know. It's not a good way to end. It's going to be a bad legacy for Bill Cosby. I almost said Bill Clinton, but that's another one that's had some sexual scandalous history past. We'll see where that goes too, as well as Hillary gets into the mainstream here of an election. Also, 2015 year in review. Gallup has some interesting things up there. We'll talk to that about that, and also some issues that will shape our world in 2016. Got a big show ahead for you. We'll be right back right after the break. Well, before we talk about the new year and issues that are going to shape our world in 2016, let's take a look back at some of the biggest challenges, if you will, and some of the biggest stories that we've had to cover in 2015. It kind of gives you a good handle on kind of where we've been this last year and what's up ahead. You know, Gallup does a pretty good job. One thing about Gallup is that you not only get a lot of information news, but they seem to have more of what people are thinking because they do a lot of these surveys and polls and things like that. So anyways, Gallup come out with a year in review for 2015, and I want to share some of those with you right next here, okay? Some of the biggest stories now. These are the top stories for Gallup for the entire year of 2015. And let's cover some now. One of the biggest lies this past year, and God, just when you put that out there like that, one of the biggest lies, you wonder, well, there are a lot of lies, Malcolm. What could that possibly be? Well, one of the biggest lies, 5.6 unemployment it was. That was at the time. And that was amid talk of, you know, a lot of fallen unemployment and the economic recovery. And, you know, a lot of Americans just weren't benefiting by this economic recovery. It was one of the strangest economic recoveries in time. I think some of the reports I've seen that I think like almost close to 60%, between 50 and 60% of people are struggling just to pay their rent or their mortgage, whatever it is, one of the basic fundamentals. So I think the economic recovery has been really strange. Our growth has been really slow, and it hasn't really rebounded like it has in previous downfalls. So that's one of the biggest stories. And unemployment, the fact that they seem to, a lot of people have given up, they say, in the job market. So those reports, those people are not figured into the numbers. So every time the government come up with a new number, everybody who left the job market wasn't figured into that number as it kept falling. And it became one of the most controversial issues every month when we looked at the unemployment numbers through the year. Well, so Gallup says that was one of the biggest lies through the year. Well, we know jobs are important. They're important for everybody, and we're seeing that with the general election now. Also, one of the other big stories, Bernie Sanders surges and Hillary Clinton sags in U.S. favorability. And this is a big story where Hillary Clinton has had a lot of troubles with favorability. A lot of people just don't see, in other words, likability we're talking about here. Favorability, likability, do people like this person? Trump is another one that people are having a lot of troubles with as far as likability or favorability, although he has improved those numbers in recent weeks here, okay? But Hillary Clinton is still struggling in this particular area of being likable or favorable, if you will. And so her image tilted negative, kind of her worst ratings since back in December 07 when she was running then against Barack Obama. So that was one of the other big stories this year. And, you know, listen to this. 75% in the United States, 75% of Americans now see widespread government corruption. 3 in 4 Americans perceived corruption as widespread in the U.S. government. Wow. And this trend has been largely pretty stable since 2010. Over the last 5 years, it's had a very bad trajectory, if you will, going downhill. The percentage of U.S. adults who see corruption as pervasive has not dropped below majority levels in the past decade. Okay, and in a similar story that I find very, very alarming, this is a wow. Americans name government as the number one U.S. problem. Wow. Americans name government. I mean, we look at all the problems we're having. And I think we're able to size up in the fact that we say, you know what? Our government is our biggest problem. So Gallup asked Americans every month to name the most important problem facing the U.S. And government seems to come up in the lead there each and every time. And this is no matter what's going on. I mean, we just seem to lose more faith and faith in government. So that's one of the big stories, I think. You know, another very interesting one, we Americans greatly overestimate the percentage of gay and lesbian in the United States. And I wondered about this, actually. Okay? Now, this was a little bit of a news to me. Same-sex marriage became legal across the United States, as you know, this past June. Okay? That was a big, big story. Yeah? Well, just a month earlier than that, Gallup found that the U.S. public estimated, get a load of this, almost 25% of Americans were gay or lesbian. That's what people thought. It's not true. What did you think? I could see that as being real, that people would think that. I think that was high by my estimates. I never thought 25% of Americans were gay or lesbian, but Gallup is saying that with all the studies they've done and the study just beforehand, that almost 25% of Americans felt that 25% were gay or lesbian. That's pretty wild. So so the numbers here, in reality, the percentage is about 4%. Only 4% are gay or lesbian, not the 25%. Wow, that most people think. So the higher estimate, they say, may be attributable to increased media portrayals of gay characters in movies and on television, along with a high-profile legal battle over gay marriage. So in other words, and this is something we've talked about, basically a lot of people feel they're jamming it down your throat, and this kind of verifies just what Gallup is saying here. So not as many people in the country are gay and lesbian as you are thinking. It's a very small minority, actually, but it takes up a lot of our news cycle, and it's become a big talking point, friends, you know. Also in America, 58% back legal marijuana use. 58%, obviously the vast majority now, and America is still very much in favor of legalizing it, you know, nationally, even though that's not the case. It's a state-by-state issue at this point. In fact, there's some conflict with the federal laws on this. That is another problem, where it's illegal federally, but states are making it legal and still don't have that worked out, oddly enough. But, you know, here's the thing. You know, whatever you want to say about marijuana, whether you like it, you don't like it, you agree it should be legal or not use, you know, or not legal, then you've got the medical marijuana piece of the conversation versus recreational use. Here's the bottom line, friends. The black market is alive and well out there. Whether it's legal or not, it's not going to stop the use. In fact, one of the biggest problems we're having right now is our prisons. They're full of people that have minor things like this, like marijuana use and stuff. I mean, I'm not talking about dealing in drugs and selling to our kids. I'm talking about use. People are being locked up for these kinds of things. And our prisons are overpopulated. We can't even handle it. We can't handle the economic cost. Our prisons are loaded. In fact, as a country goes, we have the biggest prison problem in population in the world. In other words, we lock up more people for more things than any other country in the world. And that's a fact. That's a fact. I know that's a fact. But here, people are saying, listen, marijuana should be legal. Now, I don't have a strong opinion on this. I'll be honest with you, one way or another. When you say, what do I think? You know, I think people are going to do what they're going to do. I really do. And I think the more laws and stuff you pass out there to mandate this stuff and tell people what they can't do, I think you're going to drive a lot more people to doing it. I really believe that's the case. So I don't think you're going to change much here, I'll be honest with you. So, and then in another big story, one of the biggest Gallup stories this year is socialist presidential candidates are least appealing. Well, that's at least a bit of encouraging news, huh? Well, and so this is obviously relating to Bernie Sanders, I would imagine, who's the socialist candidate at this point. And so they're saying that is least appealing. Although he has attracted a lot of big crowds out there, and people have kind of shook their heads a few times and looked and said, you're kidding me, he's attracted that kind of popularity. But he is. Also, Pope Francis, his favorable ratings have dropped in the U.S., and I was surprised by this, because this is a very, very popular pope, Pope Francis. But they have dropped, but he's still more favorable than his predecessor, Pope Benedict, and that I understand. Pope Benedict just wasn't really a very popular pope and didn't, I mean, Pope Francis, he's shaking the boat from left to right. He's doing a lot of things that are upsetting the establishment. But he is controversial as a pope goes. But then again, if you're going to make change or do something, go against the establishment, that's what's going to happen, my friends. But his favorability rating had dropped in the U.S. a bit. Maybe that's some of the political things he's kind of stuck his toes into and probably upset the apple cart a bit. And employees want a lot more from their managers. Employees expect more from their managers. Another big Gallup story this year. Gallup reports that 1 in 2 U.S. adults have left their job to get away from their manager. And I've seen this over time, actually, so it doesn't surprise me. But they want to improve their life overall. So, hey. And then obsolete. What's becoming obsolete are annual reviews. Gallup says those are becoming a thing of the past. You remember that once a year you'd go and you'd have an annual review and see if you get a raise or not? Well, those are now becoming obsolete, Gallup says, and they're finding that large organizations are experiencing the dysfunction of once-a-year performance conversations are just not good, and they're ditching the practice altogether. You know, I think we should be judged throughout the year, not just once a year, and maybe we should get a raise a couple, three times if we do a good job. Nothing wrong with that, right? Well, those are the good stories on Gallup.com. Some of the good stories and the bad stories, but they are the most popular stories and of 2015. But I wonder, what's going to shape our world coming up in 2016? What are some of the issues that we're going to be worried about the most in the new year? You know, I'm going to discuss some of those with you just ahead so we can put our looking glass on and see what exactly is happening. I'll be right back with you, and we'll talk about those issues in just a few moments now. So what about some of the issues that will shape our world this year in 2016? What might those be? Well, I'm going to put the crystal ball on here and discuss some of those with you right next. And it's Malcolm all out here. Welcome back. Well, you know, as we now come into a new year, it hopefully gives us a chance as a society, as Americans, to do a better job. And there's a whole host of things that we couldn't resolve by year end, clearly. And a lot of these items are things we look to hopefully resolve this coming year. It's a big year. It's going to be a big year for life, for politics, for society. So let's talk about some of the issues that will shape our world in 2016. One of the big stories, again, the refugee crisis that became a big heated conversation more toward the end of the year. And, you know, America and Americans were damned for being more protective this time than to take, 10,000 at the time, refugees. Of course, Canada took a bunch, and they kind of rubbed that in our face, and I didn't like those headlines as well. I remember when that story came out in the last couple of months. But, you know, I mean, America is a target around the world, and I think we have to be a little careful at this point who's coming into the country and who's not coming into the country, which has been part of the problem when it comes to even immigration. In illegal immigration, it's a whole other story. That is certainly one of the items that are going to shape our world in 2016 is immigration. Will we get the big question on everybody's mind is, will we have a new immigration policy? Well, if I put my crystal ball right on now, I'm going to tell you probably not this year. And why I say that is because, well, they're not going to work together. The Democrats and Republicans are hell-bent on not working on this topic, and especially in a general election mode that's going to really occupy all the political space in 2016, very little is going to get done. The president is a lame duck, and Congress is, they're going to fight each other, hook, line, and sinker here, I think, as the year progresses. So the refugee crisis is going to continue on as hundreds of thousands of people are fleeing violence in Syria. And a lot of these governments in Europe are going to be, I think they're going to pay a big price. I think Germany's one of those countries that have taken in a ton of these Syrian refugees. And I think part of the answer was that keep these people in the country and help them live, help resolve the problem there, than to have them flee and, relocate everybody, Syrians all over the world. And then what happens to the country? But again, it's a bigger problem when you have a president like Bashar al-Assad and you have the ISIS folks and terrorism out there and other things going on in that part of the world. But the refugee crisis is not going away anytime soon. It is a problem that we're going to have to deal with throughout 2016. Another big problem this year, climate change. As you probably know, in Paris in December, all world leaders got together, 195 nations, as I recall, and they agreed to a landmark deal. Became one of the big talking points. And, of course, President Obama caught a lot of hell for this. And because this was happening right after the Paris attacks and right what was going on in San Bernardino and all of this terrorism activity and talk. And a lot of people think the president is disconnected, which he is. Everything about these big issues is timing. It's the right place and right time for everything. No matter what it is, I don't care if it's education, healthcare. We found that out with Obamacare, that it didn't work for a lot of reasons. The timing wasn't right then. Now, you say that, and you say, well, how can you say that? I mean, we need these things, but you just can't do everything at once. And sometimes there are other things on the front burner. Right now, climate change is not one of the biggest hot items. And you know where the president went wrong on this? Again, this is where these guys, and a lot of congressional people went wrong as well, is, they go ahead and they say our biggest problem in the world, and the president came around and said this, he believes, is climate change. Now that you make it controversial right away when you make a stupid statement like that. It becomes very, very controversial when you make a grand statement like that, because a lot of people would disagree with you. They don't believe climate change is the biggest problem we're going to have to deal with this year. So that's one of the big issues that we're going to still face in 2016. Don't get me wrong, folks. I think we all should be good stewards of the planet. I do believe that. I don't think everything has to be. I'm not one of these who believe everything has to be a political confrontation. I think that's the problem with our country right now, is left and right just decide they're going to fight about everything. Why can't we be good stewards and make good recommendations and do things that are going to help us all and still protect the planet? I don't see why not. But why does it have to be so controversial? Why is it one more thing we have to fight about? I just don't get it. The other thing that's going to occupy our time this year, as I've already said, is the presidential election. We're in a general election mode now. The entire year, up through November, as you know, when we pick the president, is going to be highly, highly engaging. And debates and conversation, and it's going to keep the media spinning, and we're going to be hearing lots and lots about it. We're only getting started in this cycle right now. Data security is another big thing this year. We talked about it on this show with you all, but not just governments, but I'm talking everybody, health insurance companies, your credit card companies, but even companies like we reported on the other day with children's toys. I mean, anything with a computer, or anything with a phone or tablet that you're typing information into, it could be a real problem. I'm telling you, the hackers and the bad people, they are alive and well, and they are out there. So that's data security is not going away anytime soon. I mean, another big issue this coming year that's going to hit the burner is these drones. These, how to regulate the drones. They're becoming huge. It all started with Amazon and then Google wanting to deliver things by drones. But it's becoming a big challenge. They're already having problems with drones that could take some of the planes down, and they're flying into aviation. So now you got to keep them away from the airports, and you got to keep them away from private areas. And then you've got security issues. What might some of the bad folks attach to some of those drones? That could be a whole nother problem. And part of it's going to be the privatization of the market. And, how do you privatize this? A lot of private companies want to get involved. They want to make money with it. So that's going to be another big issue, is where do we go ahead with drones? God, you could just see drones being a big part of our future at this point. You know that's going to happen, you know. Gun violence is another thing. This is going to be an issue with mass shootings and some of the, it's been an epidemic in recent months over the past couple of years, and that's not going away anytime soon as well. And both political sides will continue to fight about it, just like everything else in this country. So gun violence is going to continue, I'm sorry to say. And ISIS is going to be another conversation we're going to have throughout the year. That's not going to stop. Terrorism is going to be here, and we're going to have to learn ways to combat this, and I believe we got to get far more aggressive. I don't think our foreign policy is good. I think we're hurting as a nation. I don't believe in the president's foreign policy at all, and I think a lot of people would agree with me. And I think to run or hide from these terrorist groups like ISIS are going to create big problems for us ahead. Ignorance is not a good strategy, my friends. Not at all, you know. And again, these groups like Black Lives Matter and online social justice, well, these are going to be other problems ahead where, you know, everybody's going to want their media space and their time to get their issues out there. But, you know, the problem is a lot of these things, everybody's got a smartphone camera, and it looks like everybody wants to take a picture or run a video at any moment. I mean, you can't, any controversy that happens at any moment, people whip out their camera. They could be on their deathbed, and they take out their smartphone, and they start shooting camera. We've seen that in San Bernardino. People were taking out the cameras when this shooter was entering the building, and people caught footage of all that, and why they were exiting the buildings and everything else. So those are some of the issues, again, that we're going to have to face this year in 2016. But what about all of us having a better life this coming year? What about resolutions? Do they work, and how do we create long-lasting change in our lives? I'll share some of the secrets with you just ahead. Be right back. Well, it's the time of year where you create the resolutions, you write them down, and then you try to figure out all your effort goes in how to keep them, how to make it a daily habit or make it part of your life. Because let's face it, a resolution that is temporary is not going to get you anywhere in the big scheme of things. And but it really is about how to make change in your life, how to make new things happen, how to create new excitement, how to shake things up, how to do things a little differently. Create some new metrics in your life. And that's really what it is about resolutions. But we're going to talk in this segment next about, you know, why resolutions don't work and how to create real lasting change. And I'm also going to share with you some secrets of people who keep their New Year's resolutions, how they go about doing exactly that. So welcome back here. And so let me read this to you here a moment. Resolutions do not work for us because, more often than not, they include making changes to behavior and objects that exist outside of us. Until we change what's on the inside, we cannot change what's on the outside. Eventually, we go back to making the same choices, whether consciously or subconsciously. Mostly it's that, it's the latter. But I like this quote they have here. Listen to this from Dr. Wayne Dyer. And I quote, "When you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice because that's what's inside of you." I think there's some truth to that, my friends. I think that's some real truth about squeezing the orange. So let's talk about some steps to create real and lasting change. And I like this list here, so I want to share it with you. I'm going to put this on our Twitter feed as well, so you can catch it at Malcolm Out Loud. Go to our Twitter feed, and you'll catch it right there. This article is from Tiny Buddha. They always have some great things on here. But the first one, love and accept yourself. Love and accept yourself. That's a big one. Change doesn't come by berating, judging, and criticizing ourselves. It comes from lovingly accepting the things we cannot change and growing each day to change the things we can. I think there's some truth to this one, my friends. So they say to repeat a powerful affirmation daily. So this one here, and I quote, this is the affirmation that they use here. I deeply and completely love and approve of myself. I accept the things I cannot change and grow to change the things I can. Well, interesting. I mean, if you can say that every day to yourself. But love and accept yourself. In other words, sometimes I see people that beat themselves up a lot and to a point where, you know, I mean, end up with a black eye, huh? I mean, you've got to, how do you expect other people to like you or accept you if you don't accept yourself or like yourself? That's true. It's got to start with you, folks. You got to be able to look in the mirror and know who you are and accept who you are. And if you don't like what you see, I got news for you. You better change it because other people probably don't like it either. So love and accept yourself is number one on this list. Number two, practice self-awareness. So if we're not aware of our thoughts, feelings, emotions, beliefs, likes, dislikes, fears, then we're missing the starting place for change. You got to know who you are. That's what we mean by self-awareness, right? Ask yourself this. What are my deepest fears and insecurities? Who am I still angry with and whom do I need to forgive? That's a big one. It's hard for us to forgive. I know. I have the same problem personally. I know. Whose approval am I seeking? Now, that's a big problem. Who will I disappoint if I change or succeed? See, that's the big problem, is because you have to please yourself first. You can't please other people. You can't seek other people's approval without seeking your own. That's the problem. Again, use the mirror. I always say use the mirror. You gotta get a good mirror and look in it and see who you are, folks. Number three, change old negative beliefs into new empowering beliefs. Many of us hold unconscious negative beliefs that we learned as children from our parents. This is a big problem, by the way. It's our upbringing. A lot of these things, these habits that which we formed when we were, 3, 5, 7, 10, 12, 15, well, these are things that stay with us for our lifetime. We become part of our fabric of our society. A lot of people have a hard time changing from that. So you have to be really careful to not get caught up in all that and be able to accept to make a new you outside of, holding on to a past. You know what I always tell you? Use the rearview mirror 10% of the time in your life. Use the front mirror 90%. Don't keep looking back over your shoulder all the time, folks. Number four, focus on what you want, not what you don't want. So creating your own happiness by focusing on the negative is a problem. So if we change our mindset from moving away from something to moving towards something, our thoughts begin to shift, and then our actions begin to shift. You see? Then we make choices that align with our new desires. And that makes a lot of sense, okay? So try that. Number five, practice gratitude. I talk about that all the time with my friend Angie Austin, who's on radio. We've had her on the show here with you before. But Angie and I talk all the time about gratitude. You have to have gratitude in your life. You got to have gratitude. There's something you got to be blessed for and appreciative for. Wake up in the morning, have gratitude. Look in the mirror and have gratitude. Look at yourself and just bless yourself and bless your life for having something that's right. Something's got to be going on, folks, that you can build on, And they say here, simply write 5 to 10 things down that you're grateful for every day, and you begin to shift your mindset and move you toward the changes you're seeking. I like that. Number six, set realistic, achievable goals and take actionable steps. That's true. Don't set things that you can't accomplish, folks. You're just going to set yourself up for failure there. Number seven, I love seven. Never say never. And I believe that's true because, first of all, everything is doable and you can accomplish just about anything in your life if you set your mind to it. And, don't give up the things they say here that you don't want to give up and then put yourself in a corner. So, you got to make small steps to make it happen. So never say never in your life. And the eighth one on this list, meditate and visualize. Now, I'm not a good meditator. I do visualize a lot. I'm a visionary. But it's hard for me to sit down, being out loud as I am here, to just meditate. I do try to do it, but I don't think I'm perfect at it. I like what they say here, though. They meditated and visualized themselves living by the ocean. Now, listen to this. I went to sleep with the sounds of the ocean. They must have turned some light music on or something and created a vision board with images of the sea, with consistent focus of my intentions and desires and taking actionable step toward my goals. This person is now living part-time on a beautiful island. So they say when we keep our intentions as our focus and take action from a place of gratitude, we open ourselves up to the people and opportunities to bring us to the change and intentions we desire. So I like that story. We'll have that up on the Twitter feed again. And these are basically eight points here of to create real and lasting change in your life, if you will. So I think it's a good start for us to make that change in our life. But I want to share with you now some secrets of people who kept their New Year's resolutions. How do they do it? I think it's something I think about all the time. For me, I don't create all these fake resolutions coming into January. I'm more of a life change kind of guy. So I'm looking at the big picture of life, and I make change my daily, weekly, monthly habit. So I make my resolutions happen all the time throughout the whole year. I resolve to do things differently all the time. I don't wait for January 1. So these secrets here I want to share with you now are people who kept their New Year's resolutions. How did they do it? And listen to this here now, okay? 45% of Americans regularly make New Year's resolutions. So almost half of Americans do that. But guess how many keep them? How about only 8%? So how do those 8% do it? Well, they surveyed all the people and found out exactly how. They're going to share it with you right next, and we'll put this up on the Twitter feed as well. Secrets of people who keep their New Year's resolutions, okay? First on the list, they keep resolutions top of mind all year. So they keep resolutions top of mind all year. So they keep this person keeps a board in the office with his goals for the year and looks at it every day. And he puts key milestone dates in his calendar to track his progress. So you got to be accountable, folks. Got to be accountable. Second, they make it into a daily habit. What did I say to you a few moments ago? It has to be a daily habit if it's going to be effective. It just can't be pie in the sky, okay? Number three, they don't make resolutions about things they should do. So in other words, forget making a resolution because it seems like the right thing to do, which a lot of you do that out there. Your resolution should be something you are passionate about. Otherwise, you will lose interest. Now, I think this is damn good advice, number three. That's, I think, the best advice in here, man. You know, don't be picking stuff that you are not going to do because you hate to do it. You think by making a resolution, you're going to change your life. You're not. Number four, they make sure others will hold them accountable. That's a tough one, I think. That's a tough one. But they say it can work. They say, I find I'm much more likely to stick to my game plan if I have to answer to other people. I don't know if I totally agree with that. I think you better be accountable to yourself first and foremost. Number five, they try to inspire others to join them, build a team sort of around to get other people involved. I can understand that. Number six, they attach a number to resolutions. So don't just state the resolutions. They make them concrete by making them quantifiable. Okay. All right. And the last one, they keep resolutions on track by writing in a daily journal. That's hard to do it too. That's one of those things that are habit forming. You have to do it as a habit or you're not going to do it. I've tried and I don't succeed a lot in these journals either, these daily journals or diaries, they call them. Yeah, I don't really do so well with that either. But again, these are resolutions. These are secrets on how you can keep your resolutions. But again, to me, the best way is to become a better person is to make change your daily, weekly, monthly program. Be willing to modify and change yourself at any moment's notice. Well, these are a lot of things we'll be talking about on the show here, folks, bringing you the real news. Again, when I say this is real life, yes, it is. This is real life on the brink. Thanks for joining me today. We'll see you again tomorrow. Remember, get involved, get loud.